Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on daf yud, 6 lines from the top at the new Mishnah. Kol get sheyesh olav eid kusi, posel. Any get. Get means documents, shtoros. Any shtar that has upon it the signature of a witness, that's a kusi. The document is unacceptable. It's invalid. The kusis were a people that in the distant past had converted to Yiddishkeit, to Judaism. The circumstances under their conversion were questionable. In many places you see the kusis simply regarded as goyim. In our Gemara, we're going to see that kusis are presented, we'll say, in contrast with oivdei kechavim, with idol worshippers. Hence, the approach to kusim in our sukkah will be one of that they are considered Jews. However, their allegiance to the Torah and to mitzvos is questionable. Can you trust them? So the Tanakhama says that a kusi who signs a standard shtar, you cannot trust them. They will lie. So that if you have a shtar that indicates Reuven loaned money to Shimon, and that you have a witness that signed it, that's a kusi, could very well be that Reuven never lent the money to Shimon, and his signing of the shtar is simply a testimony of lie. So the Mishnah says that the signature of a kusi on a shtar will render it invalid. Chutz migite noshim v'shichuri avodim, with the exception of a kusi who is found having signed a divorce document or a freedom document setting free a slave. Maisa shavi lifnei Rabbi Gamliel lechvar isnoi get isha. There was an incident where a divorce document was brought to Rabbi Gamliel in Kfar Osnoi, the same of a place. Vayu edov ede kusim v'hichshir, and there were kusi witnesses that signed it, and he said the shtar, the get, is all right. The Gemara opens with a very long question. You can see how we've marked this section of the Gemara with a long question to the second line from the bottom. And on the side of the Gemara, we have under our nosei, our topic heading, the following. The Gemara will be asking Moni Masnisen, who is the author of our Mishnah, the Machshir Get Isha Be'ed Kusi Uposel B'Shar Shtoros, that makes this, we'll say, split in the acceptance of an Eid Kusi. Whereas by a get isha, it's okay, but by other documents, it's not acceptable. The Gemara will present three Tanaic points of view regarding kusim in general, regarding kusim, and the example that the Gemara will cite is a Tanaic source dealing with matzah of Pesach. Now, matzah of Pesach, in addition to one's diligence in its preparations, in its preparation, making sure that it does not become leavened, that it doesn't ferment, doesn't become chometz, if you want to use that matzah that has not fermented as matzah to fulfill your mitzvah of matzah on Pesach night, on the Seder night, that matzah must have, we'll say, taken care of it, prepared it, lishma. Lishma means with the mitzvah of matzah in mind. In other words, this is a level of care, of input beyond just the physical non-fermenting. This requirement of lishma, through which the matzah will then be useful in fulfilling the mitzvah of what the pasuk says, bo'erev toichlu matzos. That's called matzah lishma. We also refer to it often as shmura matzah. The Gemara, Moni Masnisen, lo Tanakama, velo Reb Elozer, velo Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the Sanya. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to read this Tanaic source. You can see the names have been underlined. There's also the Tanakama. They three opinions regarding the matzah of a kusi. And then the Gemara will ask, well, who is our Mishnah? And then tie in the points made by matzah and what we're looking for vis-a-vis the signature of a kusi on a shtar and a get. So first we read the Tanaic source that deals with matzahs. And that as we read the source, we're not going to tie that in, the mitzvah of matzah, to our issue of the shtaros. That will be forthcoming after the source. It says here, matzahs kusi muteres, v'odom yoytze bo yedei choyvosu b'pesach. The Tanakama is very lenient, and he says the matzah prepared by a kusi is muter. That means that there is no problem of chometz. He will not have let it ferment. And furthermore, you can use that matzah on Pesach night, on the Seder night, to fulfill your mitzvah of matzah, based on the pasuk of Bo'erev Tochlu Matzos. And in order to qualify for matzah's mitzvah, it has to have been mishtameres, which guarded, watched, prepared, lishma, that you had in mind the mitzvah of matzah when during its preparation. So the Tanakama holds that the kusim are expert in this, that you have to make your matzahs lishma, and they will do so. Reb Elozer Oser, he takes the other extreme. He says you can't even eat the matzahs, lefishein bekiyim bedikduke matzahs. Bedikduke mitzvos. They are not careful, even with the prevention of fermentation. And you have to be concerned that maybe they allowed it to become leavened. And therefore, not only are the matzahs of a kusi unsuitable for the mitzvah of matzah, they're even prohibited to eat throughout the whole holiday of Pesach when there is a prohibition of eating chometz. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. And he says something that's, very general. And how to apply it, that we'll have to just wait and see. He says, Kol mitzvah shechziku bo kusim, harbei medaktikin bo yoser miyisrael. Any mitzvah that the kusis have adopted, they've accepted, they are more diligent in their mitzvah fulfillment of those mitzvahs that they have been machzik, that they've accepted, than regular Jews, Jews of continual Jewish pedigree. It's pointed out by Rashi, based on the Gemara in Chulin, that when Reb Shmuel says all mitzvahs that they have adopted, they are more diligent even than Yisrael, when the Tanakama also said that the matzah of kusi is something you can rely on, what is Reb Shimon Leil coming to add? He's coming to add even rabbinic dictums they are diligent in if they've accepted it. Money. So now the Gemara asks our Mishnah. Our Mishnah dealt with a kusi signing a document. Who is the author of our unnamed Mishnah? E Tanakama, if it's the Tanakama by Matzis, Afilu Shash Doros Nami, You should be able to rely on the Kusi signature in general, not just by Gittin and Shtore Shichrut. The Tanakhama said that the Kusi is reliable in his fulfillment of mitzvahs. So he's not going to lie. E. Rabbi Elazar, if our Mishnah were in accordance with Rabbi Elazar, Hafilu get Ishonami lo. You saw that Rabbi Elazar regarding matzahs gave no approval to the Kusi, even for the basic fulfillment of chametz, for prevention of chametz. So we would be hard pressed to assign our Mishnah to Rabbi Elazar, who doesn't allow the Mishnah who does allow the Kusi to sign a get isha. Ve'i Rabbon Shimon ben Gamliel. And if our Mishnah were authored by Rav Shimon Liel, id achsuk, if they have adopted the mitzvah of being honest, then afilu shtar shoros nami, they should be acceptable regarding other documents as well. E delo achsuk, if they haven't accepted honesty as one of the mitzvahs that they'll fulfill, afilu get ishonami lo, then they should not be accepted when it comes to the signing of a divorce document either. And yet our Mishnah makes a split. V'chitemo Rabbon Shimon Gamliel, he might say, well, our Mishnah really is authored by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, uda achsuk b'ha v'lo achsuk b'ha, and they've adopted being honest when signing divorce documents, but not so with regard to other documents. Ihachi, if that be the case, then my irya chad. Why does our Mishnah allow only one aid kusi signing a divorce document? Afilu trei nami, even two kusim should be acceptable. Aloma Rabbi Elazar lo hichshiru bo elo aid echad kusi bilvad. Why then did Rabbi Elazar say that the Mishnah, when it allows an aid kusi, is allowing only one aid kusi? So even if you were to accept that our Mishnah were authored by Rabbi Shimon Liel and that they adopted diligence and trustworthiness with regard to Gitei Noshim, yet the Mishnah allows only one Eid Kusi, according to the interpretation of Rebbe Elazar. I'm assuming right now that the reference to Rebbe Elazar here is not Rebbe Elazar in the Tanaic source, it's the Amora Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Elazar ben Pedos by name. The Gemara answers, and you'll notice what we have is a triangle marking. On the side, you have an explanation under the Mivneh, the structural note, with the triangle is L'Hokel Al HaMa'akav. It's to make the ability to follow the give and take a little easier. So with the point of the triangle facing upwards, that represents a tshuva, a response. The inverted triangle represents a kusha, a question, a difficulty. Li'oilom Rabbi Elazar. Our Mishnah will be assigned to the authorship of the Tana Rabbi Elazar, who said kusim are chashudim. Kusim are suspect. Well then, if they're suspect, if they're chashud in lying, why then is the signature of a kusi on a get isha and shichur eved acceptable? Ukigon the Chosim Yisrael Libesof. The single signature of the Kusi appears above the signature of the Yisrael, the regular Jew. So what conclusion can we reach as a result of that? The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, the Ilav the Kusi Chover Have, if the Kusi that signed was not a trustworthy kusi, the Jew, the Yisrael, would not have allowed the kusi to sign on above or before him. So the fact that you have one kusi signature, underneath him is a Jewish signatory. The Yisrael who signed, apparently he allowed the kusi to sign on before, and he wouldn't have allowed him to sign He wouldn't have allowed himself to be, let's say, a partner with the Kusi in the testimony unless it was a Kusi that was trustworthy. The Gemara asks, well, if that's the story, then Ihochi Afili Shosh Daros Nami. With regard to other documents, we should say the same thing. And yet we don't. Elo Amrinon. Well, what is it? What do we say? What must have happened? Revocha Shavik, Lamad Koshish Minei. When the Jewish signature appeared second in the other star, he really signed first, but he left a space, Revach, he left a space, because when he signed, there were a group of people in the room. Amongst the people that were in the room were elder, honorable Jews. Koshish means older people. People that you would want to respect. So he, this Jew that signed the document, he actually signed a little lower, leaving room for a Jew that was present to sign on and have his name appear above as a sign of respect. And what happened? The person preparing the shtar didn't accord the respect to the other Jew there, but rather invited some kusi to sign on. And that kusi wasn't necessarily trustworthy. And that's why the kusi signature in other shtaros is not acceptable. And Hochanami, therefore, here too by the Get Isha, the same thing must have happened. Revocha Shavak Lemanda Koshish Minei. The Jew that signed on the second position, the lower position, he didn't sign second. He actually signed first, left space for another Jew that was present, that was older, deserving of respect. But at the end of the day, you know what happened? The husband had his kusi friend sign on. We don't know that he's kosher. We don't know that he's trustworthy whatsoever. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa responds and says, the fact remains that the Mishnah allows a single aid kusi. Zos Omeris, from the fact that the Mishnah allows the get with the kusi signing on and signing above the Jewish signature, as we said originally, Eidei haget ein choismin ze below ze. When signatures appear on a divorce document, the signers did not sign unless they were all together. So you would not have had a situation in a divorce document signing where a Jew would have signed on a lower position and left the room, and whoever else would sign without his awareness. Once again, Zosomeris, Eidei haget, and Choismin Zebelos, that they would not have signed independently. As opposed to other shtaros where they would sign independently. So that in the case of the Get Isha, the Yisrael who signed in the second position knew very well that the kusi that was signing was a trustworthy kusi. Otherwise, the Yisrael would not have signed on with him, or alternatively, he wouldn't have let the kusi sign above him. My time, why this unique halacha, unique approach to divorce documents? Amar Rav Ashi, Gezeira Mishum Kulchem. We take a look at Rashi. Gezeira Mishum Kulchem. The Rashi that we're looking at, it's about halfway down the narrow lines of the Rashi commentary, the Snanda Pirkin de la Kamon. It's taught later in a later perek. Omar la Sora, a man divorcing his wife, said to a group of 10 people, Kulchem kisvu get lishti. I want all of you to write up a get for my wife. Echad kaise v'kulam chaisman. So one of the 10 writes up the get, and they, on all of them, sign their names. V'ilo havu chas mikulu havu posel. And if all of them would not have signed, even if one of them would be missing in the signatures, the get would be unfit. B'kepedo talya. The kashrus, the acceptance of the get, is dependent on the husband's personal desires, on his on that which he insists. The lo shavio gita ela bahochi. It doesn't become a get unless you fulfill his prerequisites, his kepeda. Lefikach tiknu. And as a result of this scenario, of this possibility of the husband having said to a group of people, kulchem, afilu hechadolomar kulchem, even where he doesn't use that word, he doesn't say, I want all of you, nevertheless, the Rabbanan are stringent. Sheyu kolo edim nikbotsim b'shas hachasima, that all those that sign on a get shall be assembled at the time of the signing. So that when the signing takes place, each one is aware of the other one who will be signing on. So if a Jew signed on a get, if he signed on the get, the other person that was signing with him would have had to been someone that was trustworthy. Otherwise, the Jew wouldn't have signed his name together with a liar. And just to repeat the main point, that halacha, that all the signatories must be present at the time of the signing, that's a halacha that's unique to get Isha. And we gave you the background by learning the Rashi. We continue in the Gemara. Gufa, Omar Rebbe Lozar. This is a quote from what we saw on Omer Aleph. Lo hichshir bo ela eid echad kusi bilvad. Rebbe Lozar, the Amora, as we said before, this was Rebbe Lozar ben Pedos, not to be confused with the Tano, Rebbe Lozar ben Shamua. So Rebbe Lozar, the Amora, tells us that when the Mishnah was Machshir, a single Eid Kusi, when it was Machshir an Eid Kusi, it was Machshir only one Eid Kusi. That's Lo Hichshir Bo Ela Eid Echad Kusi Bilvad. The Gemara asks, my Kol Mashmalan, what do I need the Amora, Rebbe Lozar, to tell me this for? Tanina. The Mishnah said that very same point. The Mishnah said, "Kol get sheyesh alav aid." Notice aid in the singular. Kol get. Called get means all documents that have on it a singular aid kusi puzzle, and you have to continue the reading of the Mishnah chutz mi gitei noshim, with the exception of gitei noshim. What does that mean? With the exception of gitei noshim, that in the case of gitei noshim, a singular aid kusi would be kosher. So this information that a singular aid kusi is acceptable by a get isha is tanaic information. What do I need a later amora to tell me that which is already self-evident from a mishnah? The Gemara answers: E mimas nisin. Had I had just the mishnah, have amino, I would have thought afilu trei nami, that when it comes to an aid kusi signing a divorce document, I would have thought two were also okay. V'hai dikotoni chad, the fact that the Mishnah makes reference to a singular aid kusi, mishum de bishtoros, because when it comes to other documents, afilu chad nami lo, even one is not acceptable. So the Mishnah had, as it will say, its initial agenda was to tell me the law regarding other shtaros. What's the law regarding other shtaros? That even a singular aid kusi signing on with a Yisrael, the shtar, the other document, is invalid. What about the requirements? What about the standards for a divorce document? Ah, that's totally different there. Even two kusim would be acceptable. Komash Molon, therefore I need Rebbe Lozar the Amora to tell me not to think like that. He tells me that when the Mishnah says an Eid Kusi is acceptable, when it says Chutz Megite Noshim, it was actually coming off of the Reisha. It was alluding to specifically the case of a singular Eid Kusi that was unfit by other documents. Only a singular aid kusi is acceptable by a get isha. The Gemara asks, "Utre lo," and what two kusi signatories are not acceptable? V'ha katani, but the Mishnah teaches, "Ma'isa v'viu l'fnei Rav Gamliel l'kvarus noi get isha." An incident happened involving Rav Gamliel to whom they brought a divorce document to Kfar Osnoy, it's a name of a place, V'hoyu Eidov Eidei Kusim V'hichshir. Notice we dashed underline the key words. Eidov, that's the plural form of witnesses. Two witnesses that were Kusim, that signed it. Omar Abaye. Abaye says, Tni Eido. Eido is witness in the singular. It's witness. It's singular witness. Abaye says that the language of the Mishnah has to be altered and understand it and read it as Eido. It had a singular Eid Kusi in addition to a Jewish signer, and that was what Rabban Gamliel said is kosher. Rava Omar. Rava disagrees with Abaye's answer, and he says the Olam Trey. The Rabban, that means that really the get in the story of the of Rabban Gamliel in Kfar Osnoy had two Eidim Kusim that signed on. You'll ask, well then, how does the Maisa illustrate that which was taught beforehand? Usually when a Mishnah has a halacha followed by the Maisa, an incident, the Maisa is there to illustrate that which was taught beforehand. And beforehand, in the Reisha of the Mishnah, the Eid Kusi is okay only if he is alone. He's in the singular. The Maisa, if you're going to follow Rava's approach, doesn't energize the halacha taught just before. So Rashi explains that according to Rava, you have to read the Mishnah as if it's chisurei mechasra, as the Gemara itself says now. Let's read this again. Rava Omar li oilam trei, Rabban Liel miflig polig. Rabban Liel is not brought in the Mishnah to illustrate the halacha just before, but he is a dissenting opinion. He disagrees. Miflid Polig, he argues with that which appeared before. V'chisurei mechasra v'achi katani. And the Mishnah is missing a few words. It's presented in an abbreviated fashion, and thusly the Mishnah is to be understood. The Rabban Gamliel machshir b'shnayim. Whereas the Tanakama said Eid Kusi, one Eid Kusi is acceptable, in addition to, of course, a Jewish signer, Rabban Gamliel allows two. And now we have a story to illustrate Rabban Gamliel's dissenting opinion. Umaisinami shavu lifnei Rabban Gamliel lifkfar l'snoi get isha v'yu eidav eidei kusim v'hechshir. And the get brought to Rabban Gamliel, in fact, had two kusi witnesses, and he said it's okay. The Mishnah. Kol hashtoros ha'olim be'erkois shel oivdei kechavim. All documents that are processed, that are prepared in the Gentiles' legal court system, even though afal pi shechosvim oivdei kechavim sheirim, even though the signers are idol worshippers, they're purebred Gentiles, the documents are kosher, they're acceptable. And in our introductory remarks to today's shiur, we mentioned the contrast between Kusi and Ovdei Kechavim in our sukya. You can see that illustrated over here. Whereas a Kusi, according to the Tanakama, according to the Chumim in our previous Mishnah, would render a shtar unacceptable, a Gentile signing a standard legal document does not render it unacceptable. It's okay. It's kosher. Chutz migitei noshim v'shichur avodim. The exception being divorce documents and freedom documents of slaves, where we will not accept the signatures of idol worshippers. Rabbi Shimon Oimer af elu ksherim. Rabbi Shimon says even gitei noshim and shichur avodim with Gentile signers, it's okay. It's kosher. Lo huskuru elo bizman shinasu behedyot. Lo huskuru means this was not mentioned in the base medrash except for a case that the document was done behedyot. Behedyot means an informal Gentile court. So there's two types of courts when viewing the, we'll say, the Gentile court system. You have the formal courts, and you have the hedyot, the informal courts. As far as what the purpose of this phrase is and how it figures into the halacha being taught will be the subject of the Gemara's discussion. The Gemara. Koposik vitoni, lo shno mecher, lo shno matona. Our Mishnah teaches that the kechovim signing documents do not invalidate the documents, but documents were taught unqualified. When it said koposik vitoni, means it was taught in an unqualified fashion, unlimited, meaning all shtaros, whether it's a shtar mecher, a shtar indicating that a sale took place, or a shtar, a document that represented a gift, where, let's say, a title document, where if A owned some item, and he wrote in a shtar, in a document that he is giving the item to Mr. B, when Mr. B takes possession of the document, he then becomes the owner of that item. So the Mishnah says that all shtaros of mammon, of let's say of monetary nature, are okay, are kosher. The Gemara continues now with a question, and you'll notice it takes a few lines to develop the question. Bishlamo mecher. I understand that in a shtar mecher, the idolatry, the idol worshipper signatures don't ruin the shtar. Mechiyoyev zuzi kamayu hu dekona. In a sale, it's really the payment of the money that clinches the deal. Ushtara, the role of the document, raya ba'almahu. It's simply proof that money was paid. It shows that the money had been paid. The ilo yohiv zuzi kamayu, had money not been paid by the buyer to the seller in their presence. I mean, their presence means in the presence of the dayonim, the judges that constitute the Gentile court. Lo havumari nafshayu v'kasvin leishtora. They wouldn't have ruined their reputation writing up a document indicating that a sale had taken place with money being paid unless it really happened. Mari Nafshah has to do with ruining their reputation. They wouldn't have risked it. Their reputation was too important to them to have prepared a shtar and sign it unless the events actually took place. Elo Matona. B'mai kokoni, when it comes to a gift, what is the instrument of acquisition? What is the legal instrument that enables, that causes the ownership, the transfer of ownership to take place? There's no money paid, it's a gift. Lav b'hai shtora, is it not through this contract, this document, the gift document? The shtar is like a piece of broken clay. It's like a shard. Chaspa means it's something that has no value. If we look together in the Tosfos Reed commentary, he appears on the second line under the Rashi commentary. You notice there are the long lines in the smaller print. And let's read this together. V'hai shtora chaspo bi'almahu shelo yikra shtar shroi liknes b'ikaka elo be'edus kayemis. A shtar is not considered an effective document to generate the transfer of ownership of land unless you have trustworthy testimony in it. V'edus ha'yte kechovim enom klum. The testimony of idol worshippers is worthless. Even though we just got finished saying that they wouldn't ruin their reputation, nevertheless, it's not considered Torah-based testimony. Unehid mehemninon lo bemilsa delo bemilsa delo ibru sadi elo leshakri ukiilu shnehem moidim damyo edus. This is true when it comes to, let's say, an event that they would otherwise be caught as liars, where there's a chance that they would be exposed. As the rule goes, testimony was created only to prevent liars. Avol bedavar shakinyan tolui beidusam. However, a transfer where the entire transfer is based solely on their testimony, she'af im shneihem moidim, lo kona hakarka b'shtar, im ein shom edim, oisa edus shel oivdei kechavim eino klum, sharei einon re'uyim lohayid. You need for a kinyan, where the kinyan is the shtar itself, not the payment of money, but the essence of the transfer is the document. You need to have Jewish testimony on it. Idol worshippers, Gentiles, are not qualified to serve as formal testimony. Avol im hoya kosuv b'matona kinyan. If, however, in this gift document there was written a gesture of acquisition in addition to the shtar itself, hachinami nikne, the karka, the land, would be transferred. Shakarka besudukanai ushtar l'raya b'alma. In that case, the transfer of the karka was because of the what's called the handkerchief kinyan. The sudar is the cloth that one exchanges with someone else in order to generate the transfer of ownership. So the shtar is not the essence of the transfer, it's simply a raya, it's a proof that the gesture had taken place. V'hecho de'enbo kinyan, where there is no kinyan written in the shtar, afal pi shechzik li'achar mikan b'kak in uklum, shechzikum mikoyach ha'shtar, Chazaka is an act of ownership that at times could be the gesture that creates the transfer itself, and sometimes it's simply that which follows the actual formal transfer. And in that case, where the formal transfer was based on the document, and it was the document that created the kinyan, in such a case, the shtar is not just proof that transfer took place. The shtar is the means of the transfer. And as far as a shtar matona is concerned, idol worshippers are not acceptable to serve as witnesses. The Gemara is now then at the end of its question. The Mishnah said idol worshippers signing all kinds of financial of monetary based documents are acceptable. That should not be the case. A distinction should be made between a shtar raya versus a shtar that's a kinyan. You can present the question very simply and say, why is it that idol worshippers signers on a shtar matona is considered acceptable? Omar Shmuel. Shmuel answers, Dina, the Malchusa, Dina. The law of the land, as it applies to monetary matters, is the law. Rashi says very simply, Dina de Malchusa shall oivde kechavim. The law of the land, even if it's of idol worshippers, that is binding. And the law of the land says that if you hold a shtar, a document that says you are the owner of the property, you are the owner of the property. V'iboy esema, another approach is tni. Understand the Mishnah when it says, with the exception of Gitei Nashim, it's not referring specifically to Gitei Nashim, but rather Chutz Mi Ke Gitei Nashim. Just adding one letter makes an entire difference. And we're saying that shtoros that have idol worshippers signing on them are kosher, except for those shtoros that are like Gitei Nashim. What's the nature of a Get Isha? What's the nature of a divorce document? The divorce takes place through her receiving that document. The document generates the change of status. So too, a Shtar Matona. The possession, the receipt of that document changes the ownership of the property to the one receiving the Shtar. So that when the Mishnah in effect is teaching the distinction that we had raised in the question. Namely, all documents that are simply there as, we'll say, evidence or proof that a kinyan had taken place, Gentile signatories are acceptable because they wouldn't sign on something that they could be exposed as having lied about. That's lo maria nafshayo. However, documents that are, we'll say, represent the intrinsic transfer, kinyan, change of status, or what have you, when the document is the intrinsic transfer, then ovdei kechavim are not acceptable as signers. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, af elu cherim, even these are kosher, meaning the Gitei Noshim and Shechur Avodim that have Oivdei Kechavim, idol worshippers that signed them, they are kosher. The Gemara asks, and you'll notice we have a marking scheme, and in addition to that, we've introduced the Gemara with a Nosei, and later a topic heading. A Nosei is the topic heading, later a structural note. So let's read what we've written on the side. Now, Mishnah Mashma, from our Mishnah, one could conclude, Shrib Shimon Machshir Gitei Noshim, Shinasu Berkois Akum, divorce documents that were prepared in Gentile courts. HaGemara Dona Bashela, the Gemara deals with the question, Vaha Lav B'nei Krisus Ninu. How can a Get Isha be prepared by those that are not part of the mitzvah of marriage and divorce? The Torah says, "V'kasav sefer krisus v'nosan lishto," and we darshan the pasuk is saying, "V'kasav, the one who writes it is the one who is included in the mitzvah of giving of nisina, that means of divorcing." The Torah, with its laws of marriage and divorce, is addressing the Jewish people. It's not addressing Gentiles. Gentiles are not part of this body of law that deals with marriages and divorces. So if you're not part of the if you're not part of the game, so to speak, how can you be a participant in it? How can you write up the documents that cause divorce, that enable divorce to take place? Under our Mivneh heading, we have a house form whose position alternates, and we call this a ma'akav achar maso umatonoi shel ha-gemora, an attempt to keep track of the give and take in the Gemara. With the point facing up, it represents kushios, questions, and the inverted house, tshuvos, represents responses. The Gemara. Reb Shimon says that Gitei Noshim signed by idol worshippers are kosher. V'ha lav b'nei krisus ninu. They are not included in the laws of krisus, means of breaking apart, of divorce, based on the Torah, which says v'kosav law sefer krisus. The term for a divorce document in Torah language is called sefer krisus. Krisus is to break apart. The couple is splitting apart. And hence the use of the word b'nei krisus, people that are subject to the laws of divorce. Gentiles, idol worshippers, are not subject to the Torah laws of divorce. How can they therefore be those that prepare the divorce document, as Reb Shimon claims? Omar Rebbe Zero. So Rebbe Zero responds, Yorad Rebbe Shimon l'shitosos Rebbe Lozar, Reb Shimon literally descended into, means he accepted the position of Reb Elozer, Diomer Eide Mesira Karsi, that the witnesses that are responsible for making the divorce a divorce are not the witnesses that signed in the document, but rather they are the witnesses that witness the handing over, Mesiros, to hand over. The witnesses that witnessed the handing over of the divorce document from the husband to his wife. And therefore, when the Reb Shimon in the Mishnah represents Reb Elozer, who says, Eide Mesira Karsi, this, by the way, is in contrast to the other opinion that holds Eide Chasimo Karsi. Eide Chasimo Karsi is a reference to the other opinion that says that the witnesses that signed within the document are the force behind the kashrus, the acceptance of the get. But not so according to the Tana Reb Elozer, who here is represented by Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds by Reb Elozer, says Eide Mesira Karsi. Karsi for our purposes means makes the break, they make the get effective. Therefore, in our Mishnah, the get that was signed by the idol worshippers was in fact handed to the woman in front, in the presence of witnesses that were Jewish. The Gemara asks, "V'omer Rabbi Abba, Moide Reb Elozer b'mezuyof mitocho shepasul." Rabbi Abba explains that the Tana Reb Elozer, who we'll say is broad in his, Reb Elozer, not broad, but rather Reb Elozer represents the opinion that Eide Mesira Karsi, he says that's fine and good and the get is all right, provided you don't have any problematic signers within the get. However, if it's mezuyof mitocho, mitocho means from within. Mezuyof is a term meaning something that's forged, something that is invalid. If there's something invalid within the document itself, then even Reb Elozer concedes that it's possible that it's unacceptable. So that how can you rely on Eide Mesira when you have idol worshippers that signed within the get? Reb Elozer would tell you that if you have no one that signed in the document, but you have witnesses that saw the get being given from the husband to the wife, the divorce is a good divorce. It's effective. But once you put into the document people that otherwise cannot function as witnesses, you've ruined everything. We should say that part of the logic behind this of mezuyof mitocho is that there's a possibility that I will call upon those that signed in the document to be the witnesses to witness the transfer, the handing over, the mesira. What we just said is a psul derabbanan, is a rabbinic, and therefore the rabbi said, don't have false signatures or phony, unacceptable signatures in the document. Because you might come to rely on those very people to be your Eide Mesira, your main witnesses. What would be if the ones that signed the document have names that are so obviously Gentile that you would never call upon them to be your real witnesses to see the handing over of the document? Then the whole fear upon which mezuyof mitocho was based, that I might come to rely on them, falls away. And that's what the Gemara says. Hacha b'mayaskinon, here in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Shimon says you can have idol worshippers signing on because I've got 80 mesira like Reb Elozer requires. Gemara continues at the top of Daf Yud Aleph. B'shemos muvhokin. Shemos, those are names that are clearly the names of idol worshippers. And therefore, I won't come to rely on them to be my formal Eide Mesira, to be the ones to witness the transfer of the get. So therefore, there's no problem of mezuyof mitocho in a case where shemos muvhakin appear. Hechidomi shemos muvhakin. What are examples of those names that are that no Jew would ever call himself by? Amar of Papa Kagon. Here we have two lines of names, and we'll just take this as a as given that these are names that Jews would never go by. They are Hurmiz, Va'abudino Bar Shiptoi, Ubar Kidri, Ubati, Venakim Una. We now raise a question, though. That having been said, Avol Shemos Shame Muvhakin Mai. What about names that are not so clearly Gentile? Names that we'll call international type names that all peoples would use. Then, lo, then we would say the get is not acceptable. We just explained the whole kula of Reb Shimon accepting Gentile signatories is because they are clearly those I wouldn't come to rely on. If the names aren't clearly Gentile, I'm back to the same problem of I might come to call on those guys that signed and it turns out that they're Gentiles. They can't be my 8A Masira. Well, Ihachi, if this be in fact the case, Adetoni Seifa, instead of the Seifa teaching the following, and the thinking right now is that the Seifa of the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah, is a continuation of Rebbe Shimon. And it says in the Seifa, Lo huzkiru elo bizman shenasu behedyot. The psul, the disqualification of Gitei Noshim, signed by Gentiles, was said only with regard to courts that are, we'll say, unofficial. Hedyot means just commoners that got together to form a court. So that, according to this reading of the Mishnah, a distinction is made between Gitei Noshim that are prepared in professional courts versus those prepared behedyot in commoner, unprofessional, or just commoner courts. Well, instead of teaching that distinction, Lichloig v'lisni bedida, make a distinction staying within the topic of erkois. Erkois was the term used in the beginning of the Mishnah, referring to professional courts, people who had, what was it, dignified Gentiles that had a reputation to maintain. Why not teach and make a distinction within that topic instead of jumping over to another topic of court? Stay within the topic itself and make the distinction as follows. Bamed v'mamurim, when will we accept Gitei Noshim with signatures of Goyim in it, of idol worshippers in it? B'shemos muvhakin, when they are clearly idol worshipper names. Avol shemos she'ein muvhakin lo, but shemos that are not clearly Gentile, even though they were documents, the divorce documents were processed in erkos, in professional courts, we would not accept them. So why doesn't the Mishnah teach that distinction? Now, the fact that it doesn't teach the halacha in this fashion, it seems to weaken the explanation that we gave, let's say, in defense of Reb Shimon, this idea of shemus muvhakin. We still go back, we still have the problem of moedi Reb Elazar b'mezuyof mitocho. The Gemara answers, Hachi Nami Komar. The suggestion that you just made, in fact, is the intention of the Mishnah. Bamed v'mamurim, when is it that the Gitei Noshim are kosher in the Gentile courts, the professional courts? B'shemos muvhakin, when the Gentile signers were names that were clearly idol worshipper names. That I will not come to rely on them to be my 8A Mesira. Avol b'shemos she'ein muvhakin, but if the names are not clearly Gentile, na'aseh k'mi she'nasu behedyot upsulin, the shtar get, the get isha, in a non having non shameless muvhokim in it is tantamount to a shtar prepared in a makeshift court, common court, where there is certainly no reliability, no kashrus in a case like that. V'iboyaseimo, another approach to reading the Mishnah, is seifa ason legite mamon. The seifa is not a continuation of Rabbi Shimon speaking about gite noshim, but rather the seifa where the Mishnah made mention of the hedyot is a throwback to monetary-based shtoros, and it's not Rav Shimon speaking at all. It's the Rabbonan that are speaking. V'hachi ko'omar, lo huskuru gite momon dipsulim, the idea that monetary documents are unfit if they have idol worshipper signers, elo bizman shinasu behedyot. That's true only if they're done in makeshift, commoner type courts, where they don't have a reputation to preserve. And they would sign on even if it was a lie. But if it's done if a financial document is processed in a professional Gentile court, and they have their reputation at stake, those kind of financial documents are kosher. Tanya, Omar Rebbe Lozor Rebbe Yossi, Kach Omar Rebbe Shimon Lechachomim Betzidon. Rebbe Lozor Rebbe Yossi tells us what Rebbe Shimon told the Chachomim in Tzidon. Tzidon is the name of a place. Rebbe Shimon is the shita that we've been working with that says that Gentile signers are acceptable in all documents, including Gitei Noshim and Shichur Avodim, because in those cases we're relying on Jewish Eidei Mesira. So Reb Shimon says to the Chachamim, Lo nechleku Rabbi Akiva v'chachamim. The reference made to Rabbi Akiva v'chachamim is a reference to the generation before them, the generation before Reb Shimon, who's addressing his colleagues. In Sidon, he says the previous generation of sages, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, they did not argue al kol hashtoros ha'olin be'er koiz shel oivde kechovim, all documents that are processed, that are written up and signed in professional Gentile courts, shafapisha choismen oivde kechovim, even though the signers are idol worshippers, ksheirim aviafilu gitei noshim v'shechura avodim, even divorce documents and slave freedom documents, lo nechleku elo bizman shenasu behedyot. The argument between Rebbe Akiva and the Chachamim will arise in the case of documents prepared in hedyot, common courts, not the professional courts. She Rebbe Akiva machshir v'chachamim poislim, chutz migitei noshim v'shechurei avodim. The documents that are processed behedyot, so then Rabbi Akiva will machshir, will say they're okay, and the Chachamim say they're not okay, and the Svora for the Chachamim we've seen already in the past that they, in the hedyot courts, they're not professional judges, they don't have a reputation to preserve, and therefore there's a fear of false testimony, liars that sign those documents, with the exception of Gitei Noshim and Shechur Avodim. We're not relying on the signers there to begin with. We're relying on Eidei Mesira, and therefore, if the shtar of the, that is the Gitei Noshim or Shechur Avodim, have Shemos Muvhokim that signed on, I'm not going to rely on them. I'm going to have kosher Jewish witnesses that see the handing over. Therefore, there's nothing to lose. And therefore, the Chachomim, who disagree with Rabbi Kiva, say that Gitei Nosher and Shkravonim that are processed that are prepared by Goyeshe Hedyot courts are nevertheless kosher, because the divorce, we should point out, by the way, when we say they're kosher, the assumption is that they were written by a Jewish scribe, and as far as the testimony, the signers in there, those were Goyim that signed it, and even though it's a Hedyot court, nevertheless, since they're Shemos Muvhakim, I'm not going to rely on them to be my Eidei Mesira, and therefore it's a kosher divorce. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Af Eilu Ksherim b'mokoyim she'ein Yisrael choismin, Avo b'mokoyim she'Yisrael choismin loy. Reb Shimon Gamliel is telling us that even Gitei Noshim, that you are machshir, that you're allowing, that is true only in places that the Gentiles don't allow Jews to sign. But in places that the Gentiles allow Jews to sign, we're not going to be machshir. And Rashi explains, even if the signers happen to be Shemos Mufhakim, clearly idol worshiper names, there is because we're going to make a gzerah, a stringency, a preventive measure, in anticipation of a non-clear Gentile name appearing. My thinking that, well, it's a Jew that signed it, and I'll rely on that person to be my aid Mesira, and it'll turn out to really be a Gentile. The Gemara asks, and actually before we do the Gemara, just to make sure that the point is understood clearly, let us learn the Rashi. The Rashi that we're going to learn together is on the right under the Gemara text, Ksherim b'mokoyim she'en Yisrael choismin. Klomar, af elu gitei noshim sha'atem machshirim, even the divorce documents that you're saying are okay, emosai hein ksherim, when are they okay when processed in the Gentile courts? B'mokoyim she'en Yisrael choismin, where Jews don't sign. B'ir she'en o'ibde k'chofa manichim es Yisrael achdom, in a city where the Gentiles, the idol worshippers, don't allow Jews to sign. They came on chain Yisrael choismin boisair, since Jews never sign in that city. Hakol yoidim shame of the kovim. Everyone knows that the only ones that sign are idol worshippers. Ve'ein somchen aleihem, and I'm not going to rely on them to be present when the get is given. Umosar lei mihalei be'edim Yisrael, and the divorce document will be given over when Jewish witnesses are present seeing the handover. Avol, Rashi goes on, Avol b'mokim shisrael choismin, in communities and towns where the goyim allow Jews to sign. Afol pishah shemus halolu muvhokim do'iv dikachavim hein, even though you might have names that are clearly idol worshiper names, psulin, the get will not be acceptable. The imachshirus bahani, because if we allow those kind of Gitin, Osi Lachshuri B'Shem Hashem Mufalkim, you're going to come to allow divorce documents that have names that signed on that aren't clearly Goyish names, a Jewish sounding name, but Goyim also use those names, and I'm going to come to rely on them to be my Eidei Mesira, and that would be a catastrophe. Let's go back to the Gemara. Mokoyim she'ein Yisrael choismin. We said in this source that if it's a place that Jews are never allowed to sign, so we'll accept the Gitei Noshim done in the Goyeshe courts. But why? Nami Ligzor. We should impose a preventive measure thereto, atu mokom shisrael chosman, in anticipation of confusing confusing that with a case where Jews are allowed to sign. And we already explained that in places that Jews are allowed to sign, there's room to think that the signers were Jews when really they were not. And I'll come to rely on those signers to be my Eidei Mesira. The Gemara answers, Shma b'shma michlef. The possibility of confusing names, namely, in towns where Jews are allowed to sign, we said that even Shemos Muvhakin will not be acceptable, even if you happen to have Eidei, kosher Eidei Mesira, because if I allow that kind of shtar, I'm going to come to allow a get with Shemos She'ein Muvhakin. That's Shma B'Shma Machlif. Names can be confused with names. That's a literal translation, but people can. If you're machshir Shemos Muvhakin, I'm going to machshir even Shemos She'ein Muvhakin. However, Asra Ba'asra Lo Machlif. Confusing places with one another, that is not going to happen. Therefore, I'm not taking any risk by saying that in a place that Jews are not allowed to sign at all, we'll allow the Gitei Noshim that were prepared by the Gentile courts, because I'll have Eidei Mesira, and I'm not going to come to rely on the people that signed it, because Jews would never be allowed to sign. The fact that I'm machshir over there, that I'm allowing that, isn't going to lead me to machshir in a place where Jews are allowed to sign. Ravina sovar la'achshuri b'chnufi osa da'armoi. Ravina had in mind to allow to machshir other kinds of shtoros in Knufiyos Amori means a gathering of Gentiles that are not a professional court. Amale Rafram said to Ravina, how can you machshir, validate a document that's prepared by a group of Gentiles that got together, Erkoistnan? The Mishnah says that we'll allow documents prepared by Goyish courts that have Gentile signers, only if they're professional courts, as we explained before, they have a reputation to preserve, and therefore they're not going to lie. But just a gathering of rank and file Gentiles, you have to consider the possibility that they'll sign on something that's not true to begin with. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.